What's going on, everybody? We are brought to you by Home Field Apparel and Chinook Cedary. Use code INSIDERS10 for 10% off some of the best damn gear you're going to find for your team. And Sunflower Seeds, the best in the game. Joined by Q and Nick. What's going on, fellas?
Matt, what's your favorite Chinook flavor?
100% dill pickle.
Really? They're my two. I think the jalapeno ranch is second to none.
That's what I sent last night in the picture.
They're so good. Nick, have you had them?
Not yet. No, I'm waiting. Like, I know Matt said he's gonna send us all some. So, yeah, I'm excited. I thought about buying, and I probably will still get, like, one of those just, like, sample boxes. It was pretty cool on their website, too, where it's, like, you can try all – I think it's, like, eight flavors for, like, $30. I think that's kind of – that's a steal. Yeah, I'm excited. They got some kind of out of – left field flavors.
Cinnamon toast is really good.
That's an interesting one.
We'll move on, but it's cool. Like, you don't get that sandpaper tongue and sandpaper cheek, like the Chinook, and that's what they, you know, that's what they advertise, and it's the truest thing, and they're awesome. But
and yeah, clean well, seeds
flavor. Yeah, like they are
all the RFK healthy, no dyes, no seed oils, blah blah blah.
When I mean then, seeds, that's not crossing my mind. I'll be honest.
Quick shout out. I mean, Coach Cal loves him some Homefield Apparel.
I know you're a health nut. Have you picked up on the trend of the Saratoga water, dipping your face in it, rubbing banana peels on your face? Have you not seen that?
Yeah, makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna do it this morning on the show. See these puffy eyes from crying last night after the Razorbacks blow a 16-point lead in the Sweet 16, the not-so-sweet. All right, that's fine. We've got baseball to get into, though. Stanford, Virginia. Stanford travels across the country to take on the Cavaliers, who were preseason ranked number 2. Not off to the best start, though. And Virginia, they get the win last night. The other game last night started Florida Ole Miss. Now this series is going to be jacked up because I think they're playing a doubleheader today.
Yeah.
Q, Florida Gators 0-7 in the SEC.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you can't walk 13 batters and expect to beat anybody in the SEC. I mean, you walk 13 Missouri batters, they're probably going to beat you. It's tough. Like, you're at the point of the season where you're 0-7. You got to go on, like, a 10-game win streak in the SEC. It's pretty much a – but if you're Coach Sully, like, you have to start making moves. Guys got to get benched, and you got to – if you've played nice guy or you've played, you know, bad cop behind the doors, like, maybe now you have to go public. Maybe not by words, but you got to bench a guy. Bobby Bozer getting picked off for no reason. Boom. Like, you've got to make a statement and try to turn this around and catch a 3 or 4 seed like last year. This team just doesn't have any fight right now. And it's frustrating because there's guys on the team like Ashton Wilson – and some others, Ty Evans, who, like, made that run last year. So they know they can do it because they did it. But you're not getting that buy-in right now, and it's tough. They're in a bad spot.
Q? Or, sorry, Nick.
All right, I'll go again. All right.
Yeah. Take us through Tennessee. What's going on with them?
Really nothing new. It's kind of just business as usual. They still put I think a lot of people are kind of wondering, at least around the Tennessee – kind of area here. It's still TBD on Sunday, which is kind of interesting. I think Tegan Coons, after like how well he threw against Florida, how well he threw last weekend as well, I think he's earned that Sunday spot. I think everybody knows it's going to be AJ Russell once he comes back. The expectation is actually because like they're going to want right, left, right. I think Doyle ends up moving to Saturday. And they'll either have A.J. Russell Friday or Marcus Phillips Friday. It's just kind of one of those things that, like, Frank Anderson prefers to do. Like, he doesn't like right, right, left or, like, left, left, right. He just for some reason, I think it's just a mess up or, like, make the other coach maybe change lineups halfway through the series. So I think Liam Doyle ends up on Saturday. But, yeah, I think Tegan Coons is who I'm assuming will be Sunday. He's earned it. South Carolina, though, that's the confusing one. It feels like they should be hitting better than they are when you look at their lineup. And then obviously at their home ballpark, we all know like it's tough to win on the road in the SEC, no matter who you are. Even at Missouri, like we saw, like they put up a fight last week against Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss swept them, but it, like every or I guess all but one game was close. And if it weren't for Isaac Humphrey going just bananas, Mizzou might have stole a series. And now Texas goes there, so we'll see. But yeah, kind of just back on Tennessee. It's business as usual. Gavin Keelan is still questionable for this weekend. It's just a it's a lingering like hamstring issue. So it's one of those like, yeah, it's like the position they're in now where they're the best team in the country. They won a series at Bama without him last weekend, which that's impressive. So it's like, let's not rush it. Like the goal is Omaha. So no reason to rush something, especially like a like muscle injury like that where it can just linger all season, get it fully rested, and we'll see. So I think he'll probably pinch hit a couple of times this weekend, but don't expect him to play in the field.
All right, so going back to that Stanford-Virginia game, we've got Christian Lim versus Thomas Valencius going Virginia minus 253 on the site. Obviously, we don't have lines yet, so we're going to work our way through this. I think I'm going to bet Virginia again. I think they're going to win this series, so whether they take game two or game three after securing game one, I think that's the play. Do you guys have any – I know you are higher on – Volchko on Sunday, so that may be the one that Stanford gets. You have any thoughts on the series?
I think you're right on. I mean, Lim is the worst of the three starters, in my opinion, at Stanford. We've said Virginia is just so talented. The starting pitching hasn't done bad. It's been they've given up two or three runs, and then the offense just can't catch up. But it's not like they've been giving up eight runs in the first. So the bullpen's kind of been a struggle if they could turn that around. The bats are there. We saw them last year, like, there's no reason that, you know, they're not scoring. And hopefully last night, you know, being at home against a West Coast team on a Thursday, like, gives them a little momentum. And they're kind of in playoff mode right now, as Nick alluded to on Twitter last night. Like, this – every series is kind of like a regional to them, it feels like, at this point in the season. So, Virginia is talented. They're there. In 2015, when they won a title, they went through a similar struggle. So, O'Connor knows how to coach through that. And I don't think we give up on the Cavs just yet.
Yeah, I think the issue for Stanford, like Stanford, we were so high on after obviously winning a series at Duke. And then who'd they sweep at? Oh, yeah.
They went 2-1 UNC on the
2-1 UNC, and then they swept Duke at home. Yeah. And then they got swept at home by Cal.
Who's so mediocre.
So they've lost four straight conference games. And the issue is, yeah, I'm very high on Volchko, which is their usual Sunday guy. It'll be Saturday this week. But Evan Blanco is back for Virginia, and now he's throwing their game three. So it's like, which version of him do we get? Because if we get the ace version of Evan Blanco, then that puts Stanford in serious trouble of getting swept. Now, I'm not going to say that because I'm not betting Virginia. I will flat out put that there. I think I've said on the show last week, like, this is one of those, just like A&M. It's like, prove it to me first, and then I'll kind of back you. But, yeah, like Stanford, if they lose today, could be in some serious trouble. Where it's like all of a sudden you're like, we're top of the ACC and now you're under 500. So this is a very big series.
I think Virginia could sweep them, but Florida, Ole Miss, Florida, like I said, start in the SEC 07. We don't know who's pitching today. I'm assuming.
Yeah, through last night, who we projected was going to be like your game three starter, which obviously is now the PM game tonight. We do know Liam Peterson is going to start. We just don't know what game. The other guy that could potentially start is Jackson Barbary. It's probably who it's going to be. And then, you know, Phil Potts available for
extended. If Peterson can get the start, the odds, as you just saw, changes pretty drastically.
Yeah.
That's probably their best bet.
I'm also scared of that, though, because I don't like even Peterson back. I don't think you get your normal Liam Peterson. And I think you probably like I know Florida's in a must. It feels like Florida, just like you said, Virginia's in a must win type of situation, but
he's not going six plus.
Yeah. I still doubt he throws more than like four what I was going to say. So it's like, do you trust this Florida bullpen right now in this Florida offense? It's tough, but Ashton Wilson, I said this like last night, it was good to see him hit a home run. He needs to break out. Like that's one of your few returners you have on offense that needs to be a guy. Like the fact that he's hitting ninth in this lineup that is 0-7 in the SEC, is that's just not how you're going to win. Like they need him. They need him to step up big time.
I don't really know what went wrong for Florida. I mean, they were starting. They started the season like number two ranked in Team Sierra. You knew that they were going to be able to mash the ball. Injuries to a couple critical guys, especially in the pitching staff. But I mean, now they're sitting at 0-7 in the SEC with Texas A&M. I mean, there's still time to right the ship. I still think that they're probably an Omaha team. They've just got to get some things figured out. But you, what's your biggest takeaway? Like, what is the one thing, if you had to put your finger on it, that Florida needs to get back to get back to Omaha?
I think there's two big things. I think 1A and 1B, the hitting needs to be more consistent. The numbers are actually saying they're hitting the ball well, but they're not timely hits, and that's the problem.
Yeah, they're 14th in the SEC in runs. Yeah.
The second problem, probably actually the 1A of the two, is the bullpen has to step up. The problem is they're freshmen, right? Like, Cade Fisher in 2023 had an incredible freshman year out of the pen, and that's kind of what Sully is expecting, and he's not getting that. I don't know if that's the games are just in pressure situations and these kids are just growing and developing, or maybe they just don't have it. Like, it's too hard to tell, but what I can tell you is they're not producing right now in spots. But they're not the only ones. Phil Pott and Luke McNeely need to switch immediately. McNeely is more a Brandon Neely closer. Phil Pott is your seventh, eighth guy set up. Anytime, I mean, we watched against Florida State. They get a lead, he blows it. Four straight, you know, batters, gives up a grand slam. It's just they need to flip that. So hitting and bullpen.
Well, let's go to the Big Ten. Still weird thinking UCLA in the Big Ten. But we have Cody Delvecchio. I don't know. Really, well, something you could order at Starbucks. Yeah. Versus Carter Dorn for Purdue.
Grande.
Yeah. Macchiato. Devakio.
Really well.
Yeah, Carter Dorn, not great in the Sierra. Very comparable ERA and XFIP to, well, a better ERA than Cody.
Yeah.
However, UCLA Purdue minus 168 on the site.
I don't like that.
Where are the lines at, Baldy says? See one drop. We have not found any lines. This is a little ridiculous.
Frustrating.
But thanks for being here. Anyways, Logan Sutter, really the only face I know for Purdue. And as Rogaine is getting some free ads here, let me get that off. But I don't know. Purdue, they're decent. They're a lot better at hitting the ball than UCLA. Mm. What do you think this line opens at, though? UCLA is off to a pretty good start, 19-5.
I think it's going to be closer to a pick-up. I know what our site says, but I don't know if I trust Purdue. I think we've seen growth from last year's UCLA to this year. And I'll revert back to Florida, right? UCLA not hitting the ball statistically as good as Florida. They're getting the timely hits that Florida's not getting. Like, that's the major comparison. And I think UCLA is able to get some timely hits against Purdue and win the series.
Nick.
Yeah, I would pick UCLA to win this. I think 2-1. I think one of them ends up being a shootout. I'm not sure if it's I think Sunday. Like, let's see if we get a line on this. This feels like one of those weird Big Ten games where we might even see a line, which would be frustrating.
10-11 Sunday.
Yeah, this is because Purdue, I think, is second or third in the Big Ten right now in run and RCW plus and like in total runs. So like they can swing it, and that also like that ballpark is not meant for offense. So it's actually pretty insane to see. I would say Purdue ends up winning one. I still like UCLA here. I still think them and Oregon are probably like the top of the Big Ten right now. I know Penn State's been playing well, but I don't know. Just not like the West Coast is kind of owning it. So I would probably say UCLA 2-1 here. But one of them, if we get a line Sunday, yes, over.
So the next one, we're going to go back to SEC. It's Oklahoma, Alabama. I'm assuming it's going to be Zane Adams versus Kyson Witherspoon.
Yep, it is.
These are two really surprising teams for me, like in the SEC race. Alabama, a short favorite at minus 129. I feel like that's probably around the number, what it's going to be. You guys have a lean either way. I mean, both of these pitchers are pretty good. Kasten Witherspoon with the better stuff. But Bama, dude, I mean, they took game one against Tennessee. Looked like they were in the driver's seat to win that series. Ended up couldn't do it. But I think the Crimson Tide are for real.
I think Coach Vaughn's for real. I think he's got something brewing there in Tuscaloosa. If you can catch like an over-under 12.5 or a little higher today, I think you hit the under because Kyson's a real pitcher, as well as Zane Adams. Have we heard if Rob Vaughn's suspended yet? Did they make an official announcement? Because I haven't seen anything.
I would assume not. Yeah, that was a bad look considering how wrong he was on the play against Tennessee. But
I think it was a mounted frustration.
Well, also for nobody who saw it, Tennessee called a timeout and took about 5 minutes. Like went over and like sprayed his bat on the on deck circle with some pine tar. Took about 10 practice swings and then kind of walked up. Fans were booing, and then obviously the foul tip happens. He thought his catcher caught it. Clearly, replay showed he didn't. And then obviously, next pitch goes about 550 feet to right field. So I think he was frustrated, but I doubt he gets suspended because it wasn't. It's not like he was over the top. I even thought the umpire was quick to toss him, to be honest. So it was just one of those. But no, just talking about the series, like, I think I was higher on Oklahoma than maybe the two of you. But most of it for me was like their pitching staff that I knew would be really good. I've been pleasantly surprised by their offense. To be honest, like. I think this is a team that can win SEC? No. But do I think they can give every team the SEC problems? 1,000%. Like when Kyson Weatherspoon's on, like this is a first round arm. And if you kind of have that
too.
Yeah, Malachi's been decent. Cam Johnson is so up and down. Like he's like, he could be the best arm they have, like just talent wise. Dude's like, whatever, 6'4, 210, and like a weird arm slot from the left side. So this is a toss up series for me. I still don't even know. Like, we're about to do the SEC pick'em. I don't know where I'm going with this still.
I just
don't
think it's
a second decision.
Bama.
Yeah, but I don't know. We also saw Bama, like, the first time they saw, like, elite, like, that's A&M true. Elite pitching technically shut Bama down. Like, if it weren't for, like a couple huge swings, like, at the end of those games, like, A&M could have won outside of Tennessee on, like, making two errors to give up 6 runs on Thursday last week. They didn't do anything the rest of the weekend. Like Jordan even didn't do anything. He struck out 4 times, I think, the freshman on Saturday. So it's one of those where it's like maybe this elite pitching takes over the elite hitting. But I do like Q's shout. Like if you have 12.5, 13.5, I do like this under.
What's your thoughts? Sure.
Do
I said, what's your thoughts? It's a tight series.
Yeah, I think it's probably Bama 2-1. Which we'll get into with the pick'em, but I've been really impressed with how well Alabama plays. Justin LeBron, I wish I had a Golden Spikes ticket on him. I mean, I don't even think he was on the board preseason. And I know it's hard for an underclassman to win it, but damn, I mean, he is just flat out amazing.
It's not even just kid from Tennessee, Kentucky, Will Hoda's crushing it too.
Oh, speaking of Tennessee, Ron Burgundy has a score prediction. USC 23, Tennessee 2.
If that's like
Godspeed, Ron.
If that happens, we'll send you a case of Chinook seeds. We'll do it. Go.
Was he saying that's going to be Tennessee's record after?
I don't know, maybe. All right, so we've got Clemson, Georgia Tech, Aiden Kanak. Taking on Tate McKee. No surprise here. Clemson, slight favorite. I feel like Clemson is playable up to minus 200. I think
this is Georgia Tech's,
has started playing really well. He kind of struggled there right out the gate, but I mean, that 130 Sierra is very impressive. This game also could go under. I feel like both of these teams, I mean, you see it right there, 146, 145, and weighted runs created. But these two Sierras for the pitchers, 130, 258, may be able to get by this game one with a 4-5 type game. but I think Clemson's a better team.
I'm actually opposite. I think this is where Georgia Tech's offense could potentially get to knack, and then Tate McKee gets hit for the first time pretty hard against that Clemson lineup. Georgia Tech's going to lose this series at home. I think it's going to be a tight series. I don't think, like, you're not going to see a 13-4 blowout by any means. I think you could see, like, the Wake Forest, you know, a lot of runs by both teams, but Georgia Tech loses the series at home. But they're having a hell of a season. Like, they should not, if they do lose the series, tank the season. But I do think they hit knack pretty hard today.
Yeah, so I like Clemson today. I really do like Knack. I think Georgia Tech is, like, they're 7-2 in the ACC, and they're in first place, which I don't think can even – yes, that's where I was going. But, yeah, it's like they've played Virginia Tech, which is a good series win. Like, Virginia Tech's not a joke.
On the road.
But then they've also played, yeah, Pitt and Notre Dame, who are probably the bottom two in the ACC. So this is a huge week. If Georgia Tech wins this weekend, then it's like, okay, like, let's take them serious. So I still do, like, today, though, yes, Clemson. I think Aiden Kanak is just kind of different than anybody else they face this year. Sunday over for me in this one. Like, just Hugh just mentioned, this ballpark is heavy with runs. And we also see, like, how good both these teams are offensively. I think it does kind of end up looking like that Clemson-Wake game from last Sunday. So, yeah, I think my two plays here are probably Clemson today, stay off Saturday, and then an overlook on Sunday.
Refresh me. What did they do against Brent Renfro?
They
game. Was it like 5-4?
Yeah, 4-3. Yeah, they won 4-3. And that was the one that I think, like, they scored like two runs, I think, in like the ninth to win it. Yeah. Like, it was very, like, low scoring early. And I think they took the lead in like the eighth or ninth.
All right, next up, we've got Auburn taking on Georgia. Georgia, one of the biggest surprises of the season, number one in weighted runs created. Is Charlie Condon gone? Like, or is he just batting 1 through 9 in this lineup? Because I feel like everybody can smash, from Rylan Zaborski. Yeah, whatever. In my mind just went blank. Who's the other kid that is
Zachary Ash? Oh, Alford hits.
He was just SEC Player of the Week, I feel like.
Oh my gosh, I know Bennett. Is it Bennett?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've got that lineup, which I can proudly say that I did predict Georgia to be an Omaha team. Pitching staff is still going to be a problem, though.
Over in this series.
I can't take a victory lap yet. The Georgia Bulldogs have a lot of question marks in pitching. However, Sam Dutton for Auburn, he's kind of in their saving grace.
Robbie Burnett.
Yeah, Robbie Burnett. Thank you. Okay, so Dutton, still a 268 Sierra. It's low. Charlie Goldstein, not very good. A 9 ERA, a little bit better XFIP than Sierra. But, I mean, are you going to bet against Georgia in this offense? Auburn can swing, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you take the over and you ride both teams, because Ike Irish can hit Goldstein. Who else?
I think pitching is going to be the difference in game one.
I think they're going to mash him. I don't think there's a pitcher in the conference that is going to truly contain Georgia's offense.
And even if they do, it's not going to be for more than 5 innings.
They just hit too well.
Yeah. 74 home runs. Are you kidding me?
They're going to hit 200 home runs this year. I think we'll see the first 200 home run team.
Insane. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I had Auburn beating Kentucky last week. I think it's – this offense actually isn't what's carrying this year, which is weird. Like, I'm trying to scroll down because I remember looking at this, and I'm in the 150s of, like, runs per game and still haven't seen Auburn yet. So it's really not even, like, the same offense that we usually get at Auburn. Georgia, though, is just a different kind of animal offensively. Now, let's see what they can do on the mound. I mean, like, Leighton Finley, like, we know, like, I think at least me, like, he was a very bet against guy last year. And, like, I don't think anybody expected that performance on Sunday. But that is that more of – has he turned the corner, or is that, like, on Florida's offense?
I think it's Florida's offense. offense.
Because that Sunday, like, if he's their Sunday guy and if he actually throws that well, like, okay, that actually makes Georgia a serious, not just Omaha contender, but national title contender with his offense. And Charlie Goldstein, though, like, yeah, it's hard to trust him, especially against Samuel Dutton. But this line is probably going to be huge. Like, I don't even know if this is going to end up, like, parlayable. Like, this is probably, like, 280-ish, I would assume, is probably what we end up getting. Like, it's either, like, parlay or nothing. And I don't even know if I'll use him in parlay because how good Dutton's been. But it's just one of those, like, wait-and-see type of things. But I do think Georgia wins this series. Like, they're just – it's just one of those where they're hot right now until like, they face a pitching staff that can actually shut down the offense and then see how they answer. We're not going to really know what this team's actually like.
So let's go real quick. Game two of this series is going to be Cade Fisher versus Curley. Yeah. Let's just see what the projections do, because I do think this is the shortest it's going to be.
He's going to get smoked.
Yeah. I still don't think he's thrown four innings yet.
Yeah. Look at that. Like, yeah. If Auburn's going to win one, it's got to be with Dutton.
The overall, like 14.5, 15.5 every game.
Yeah.
And hit it by the fourth inning.
That's 9.577.
Do you think by the end of the year you get a Georgia like 17.5 over under?
I don't know.
It's possible if they turn
more 13-14 runs.
I think, though, with SEC pitching, they would not get.
Yeah, the difference is like Tennessee's offense. I still think Tennessee's offense last year was better than this Georgia offense this year. The difference is, like, Tennessee still led the country in ERA last year. This Georgia pitching staff is not the same. So there's going to be some serious, like, we saw even, like, we're all against Vandy's. I don't think any of us believe Vandy has a good offense. And look how that series, or not Vandy. Who did Georgia have week one? Why am I going blank? Because Auburn had Vandy. Kentucky, yeah, the Kentucky series. It was like a high school. It was like watching a high school, like, bullpens against each other. So, yeah, I think we will probably get some of those on some possible Saturdays or Sunday, especially because the ball flies there.
All right, next up, Arkansas, Vanderbilt coming off a midweek loss to Missouri State. Biggest win for Missouri State in program history. But fun fact for everybody – see, Arkansas, this is a problem. Arkansas fans were in Tennessee's mentions for losing to East Tennessee. And then you turn around and you lose to Missouri State.
So. Listen, the game wasn't about Missouri State. It was about childhood cancer.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tennessee fans were in
Arkansas. I've run leads in the fifth, childhood cancer, things that are bad. Alex.
Just make a wish for Missouri State. Jesus.
Here's the other thing that I'll shed some light. Arkansas hadn't been to Omaha since 2022. The last time that we lost a midweek game was 2022.
Oh, gosh.
Take that for what it is. It's actually good to not win all of your midweeks. Hell, Florida made it to Omaha last year, didn't beat anybody in the midweek.
Yeah, went like 1-10.
It's fine. You need those little teams to poke holes in what you do so you can fix it. When you only win them, you don't really know. You don't know the problems.
It's funny.
And then Kansas State and TCU come to town, and they ream you. So, anyways, Zach Root, J.D. Thompson back in that Friday night role. Arkansas, a slight favorite here. This is the one that I just don't know about. I think it's going to be a very tight, very Vanderbilt-ish game.
I do too. 5-3, 5-4.
So I could see Arkansas coming out a little flat off the loss, not really putting up the 7, 8, 9 runs per game that they've kind of been doing. But what are y'all thoughts in this one? What are y'all?
That's spot on. I'm right there with you. I think their offense, like, Root will keep Vanderbilt in check, the couple of bats they have. I think J.D. Thompson, like you said, will make our Arkansas come out a little flat. I think you'll start seeing Arkansas swing the bat Saturday and Sunday, but this is a prototypical under for Arkansas on a Friday night.
Nick.
Yeah, I think this will be pretty low. I assume we'll probably get like a 10.5 would probably be my guess. Yeah, I hope not. But I think it'll probably be 10.5, 9.5. I think it's the opposite. Obviously Matt has a little bit better kind of pulse kind of on this program and everything. I think Arkansas, like David and Horn, I think it's the same way. Like Vitello, like lost that midweek, and then yes, they still ended up losing like that Thursday to Bama. But I think Van Horn, like this is, it's one of those like easy things, like hey, see what happens when we sleepwalk, type of situations. Like we can get beat by anybody. I think Arkansas is just a better team here. If this line ends up, yeah, like -112, if we get like a 115, 120, or probably even like 130 for Arkansas, I'll take it. J.D. Thompson hasn't been the same J.D. Thompson as last year so far. He's been good, but not great. Like he hasn't been like that stellar.
He's given some lines
like
up.
Ace. Yeah. So I think this, like, I think you're spot on with the score. I think it does end up, I think probably, I would say like Arkansas probably like 5-3, like you said. Seems very reasonable. So it's like, yeah, let's see what this total is, because I would prefer an under. But I think it'll be pretty low. But yeah, if Arkansas here is actually playable on the money line, I will be on them. And then especially Sunday. Sunday, I'm looking forward to this Arkansas line on Sunday. I just want to see what that is.
It's what worries me, though.
Is on the book, though. I think they're like 175.
I know the books have been just like, yeah. The books have been terrible to us lately. Just
feel like it's not going to be playable.
No, it's either, yeah, they make parlay it. They make it so it's either parlay or they make you take the underdog.
But there is a huge issue with the books. And we won one with, who was it, Miami over Florida State. And then we were close with Mississippi State last night. Ended up giving out 3.5, 4.5 on the run line. But yeah. You don't hang a -500 in a conference game.
Scheme stuff never was like -410.
Yeah.
Well, what was the Florida State one that we talked about? It was like -870. And it wasn't even Jamie. Florida it wasn't State, even Jamie Florida Arnold. State
with Vellini.
Yeah, Vellini.
And Arnold were both like almost 11, like -1100. Yeah.
Against the Boston College team who just took a series on the road in Virginia.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's just tough.
Vanderbilt, who they just beat somebody.
A&M.
Plus 1,300 to A&M.
Yeah. So if Vanderbilt in this is like plus 300, just I feel like you got to auto bet the run line because we think this is going to be a tightly contested game. Yeah. And if you're getting that type of line, you're probably going to get 2.5, 3.5 runs. And that's huge. I mean, we saw that at Mississippi State. I bet it on DraftKings at 3.5 and then saw Saracen had it at 4.5. Well, if you like it at 3.5, you love it at 4.5.
They're catching the run lines, though, too. Like, you'll get plus 2.5, but it's like -179.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
they'll get you. All right. And last but not least, we have Baylor taking on Arizona. I was really excited to see this Baylor team. Down the stretch, they've kind of fallen off. They started the season really, really well. Ethan Calder still a better Sierra and XFIP than Colin McKinney, but Arizona at home. What do you guys make of this one? Y'all have any idea on what this line is? Because I think Baylor could be a live dog.
So I don't think Baylor can be a live dog. I think Arizona's pitching has batten down the hatches and sealed up tight. I think they figured it out from their early struggles in Houston. And Arlington, they're man. I think if you get them at -200, you parlay it. No questions asked. If you catch anything under that, I think it's a solo play. I love the pitching staff. And they're again, I talk about timely hitting. Like Arizona at home is just mashing the ball. It's a little different on the road, but they're still getting those timely hits. And Nick, credit to him. Like he was high. I was higher on the pitching staff. I thought they could turn it around. Nick was higher on the lineup on the offensive side and really liked it. And they're starting slow, but they're playing really good ball right now.
Nick.
Yeah. Obviously it was my Big 12 champ beginning of the year. I really like this team. And I think, that first weekend was concerning. And I think it was for me just because the offense was the one who didn't show. They scored 7 runs in like the total of 3 games out there in Arlington. But it seems like it's kind of righted itself. And I'm most impressed, like to go to Morgantown and win that series last weekend like they did against, I think West Virginia is probably a top 2 or 3 team in the Big 12 right now. So that
should be better too.
Yeah, that was very for an Arizona team to go up and it was like in the 40s, windy, like very impressed. I think this Arizona team ends up maybe not running away with this conference, but I think I really am impressed. Like I'll be shocked if they don't win it at this point. Baylor, I think, has turned back into a pumpkin. Like, it was like one of those where it's like, oh my gosh, maybe Baylor's going to be better this year. And it just seems like the same old Baylor. Like, they're already 2-4 in the Big 12, and they've only played Kansas and Kansas State, who are, they're not, like, those teams aren't jokes. Like, they're not bad. But those are ones where it's like, hey, like, you need to probably go at least 3-3 or 4-2 if you're going to, like, try to be serious about, like, being a contender in this conference. Arizona getting back home. Yeah, I love this. I think this probably ends up. The scary thing is, like we said with the Lions, it's either you trust them and you parlay them, because I doubt we get this under 200 is part of the problem. So it's like, do you trust Ethan Calder to have another bad game? Possibly. But I think more of this is, like, I like McKinney. I think he's kind of stepped it up the last few weeks. Yeah. And I do really like this Arizona team.
We're getting to the point midway through the season, while the overall stats are still important, these last seven, to really kind of hone in on those trends. As Q alluded to, Arizona's kind of pitching really well. Eighth in the country in strikeouts per nine, 24th in ERA, 13th in xFIP. That's pretty good to see. Meanwhile, Baylor's kind of going the opposite way with the 804 ERA as a team in their last few games. All right, let's go SEC pick 'em real quick. Mississippi State, LSU, Florida, Ole Miss. Both of those already started. We've got those locked in from our group chat as I pull those up. Nick said LSU 3-0, Ole Miss 2-1. LSU 2-1, Ole Miss 2-1 for Smitty. Q was LSU 3-0, Ole Miss 2-1. And I was 2-1 LSU, 2-1 Ole Miss.
Man, I wish I could sweep.
Let's go. Tennessee, South Carolina. Nick?
Yeah, I got to go 3-0 here. I know our
– Ron Burgundy.
I know our guy Ron Burgundy's not gonna love to hear it. My issue is with, like, Dylan Eskew on Sundays has been okay. Like, obviously wasn't great against Arkansas last weekend. That's kind of that would be, like, the one I think South Carolina has to steal if they want to get one, needs to be Sunday. With Tennessee being TBD, obviously, I think if Tegan Coons throws, like, he's still better than Dylan Eskew. But it's one of those where it's like, if you're going to leave somebody TBD, that means you're probably having a bullpen day, unless they throw as well as they did against Bama. But yeah, it's 3-0 for Tennessee.
All right, Q.
3-0 Tennessee.
Auburn, Georgia. I also have 3-0 Tennessee, by the way. I have 2-1 Georgia.
Can I just go 3-0 to the over? Does that count? Georgia.
Good bet.
I think Georgia, man, I kind of think Georgia sweeps.
I'm going to go, yeah, I think I'll go Georgia 2-1. I think since we saw Auburn's better Kentucky, and Kentucky, like what we saw what Kentucky did against Georgia, yeah. I think one of those weird games happened. Q mentioned the over. I think something where it's like Auburn could win a game like 13-11 and just like chaos happens one of the days.
Smitty has Tennessee 3-0, Georgia 2-1. And this next one, Texas A&M 2-1. See, just like that, he pumped up Kentucky fans, said he was a fan, and then he's betting against you to lose a series. I am not. I'm taking Kentucky 2-1. I've learned my lesson against A&M. I just don't think they're good. Q?
Man, I think Florida gets swept. And I think A&M wins their first series against Kentucky, 2-1.
Nick?
Wait, are you changing your Florida pick?
I can't.
Oh, that's true.
I'm just saying, in reality, I think that's what happens.
Yeah, so I said this last week. I said, hey, I picked Vandy because A&M hasn't proven it to me. I also just do not like this Kentucky team. I don't think – they just don't have, like, the same – like, last year it was, like, so much about, like – there was some, like, it factor that they had between, like, the players and Nick Mangione. I don't think that's quite there. I think this is the one where A&M has to know to this point, being back home. Like, if you do not win this series, I think, like, all hell, like, really breaks
loose. Season's already over.
It's not. Like, it's not over. Like, what do you – like, SEC, what is it? The secret number is, like, 13. So, it's like, if you get to that 13 number – so, it's like, it's still there. Their schedule, though, sucks. Because they're also – A&M is at Tennessee next weekend. So, it's like, if you lose the series at Kentucky and then you go to Tennessee – which is another series you're going to lose. It's like
– you're looking at 0-13.
Yikes. So I do think A&M wins this one 2-1.
I think
– on A&M, the starting pitching staff. There's
going to be – I think A&M probably does.
there will be like a 2-1 game they'll win. Like, it's just going to be one of the, like, they'll, I just trust the starting staff.
I'm going to change mine. I'm going to go A&M with a sweep. I still want to be different from
everybody. He saw that crown on my head down there, and he's like, yeah, yeah. You know what?
He's in last place, Nick. You live on Monday morning, and somehow.
All right. We got to hop on. Right, I know. Yeah. So let's run through these last three. Oklahoma, Alabama, we kind of touched on it. I think Alabama wins this 2-1, but I think it's a very competitive series.
Same.
2-1, Bama.
And Smitty is also in unison, 2-1. Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Hogs do well when I bet against them to not sweep. I'm going to go 2-1 Arkansas. I don't think we sweep, though.
Arc sweep.
I'm going – yeah, this is why I'm back and forth. I will go – I'll go Arkansas 2-1 just because of how hard it is to sweep on the road.
Smitty said Arkansas 2-1 as well. And then last but not least, Texas, Missouri. We're probably all going to be in unison here. Texas sweep.
Yeah.
I think – like, I'm my official one is Texas sweep. I think Missouri steals one. This is just one of those weird ones where it's like you just beat LSU.
They're going to get you like they got me last week.
They about got Ole Miss. They about got a game against LSU. I Missouri probably steals one, but I can't officially say it. So I'm going Texas 3-0.
All right. There you go. 3-0. See, you did all that dancing around it just to go sweep.
Yeah.
I know. You want to pick them, but they're so bad.
They're so bad.
All right, guys, thank you all. Sorry we didn't have lines to cover, but hopefully we gave you enough bettable information so you can attack the market as soon as it opens up. If you want more college baseball talk, and hopefully we get some lines, hop on over and watch us with Jeff Dawson on ECSI that we're 5 minutes late for now. But thank you all for being here. We'll see you soon.